Welcome to Fundamentally Drained Podcast with your hosts, Father Everett Lees, Father Tom Dahlman, and Justin Dixon. Three Christians exploring Christianity from a perspective other than the fundamental view from which we have become fundamentally drained. We'll begin the conversation, and you take it from there.
Good day, everyone. How are you?
Good morning.
All right, so this is the big episode zero. I don't know if that's a cool thing to call it in podcasting worlds, but Riley did it, so we're doing it.
I think we should go with episode prime.
Okay.
Pilot.
This is our pilot episode.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so the idea with this is that we were going to, well, this will be the first one that you possibly ever hear, and we're going to talk about our podcast a little bit and why we are doing this. So the name of the podcast is Fundamentally Drained, and that name comes from the idea of kind of being done with the fundamental way of thinking about Christianity, I guess is how I would describe that. And it's something that we kind of came up with and thought it'd be an interesting name, and kind of goes along the lines of what we're doing. And our tagline, or our subtitle, if you will, is Three Christians Exploring Christianity from a Perspective Other Than the Fundamental View for Which We Have Become Fundamentally Drained. We'll hopefully shed new light on old ideas and offer thoughts on the Christian faith in today's culture, all the while having fun and trying not to offend everyone in the process while we begin conversations we hope you will continue with others. So that's kind of what we came up with for subtitle, and we just thought we'd explain a little bit from each, all three of us, which, by the way, my name is Justin Dixon, and I am a youth minister at a church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma called St. Patrick's, and we have Father Everett Lees, who is, all right, dude, are you the vicar or are you the rector? I forget, my bad, man.
I'm the vicar of Christ Church. I'm not as cool as Tom.
Okay, a vicar of Christ Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then Father Tom Dahlman, who is the rector of Emmanuel, right? Did I say that right, or is that too redneck?
I think that sounds fine.
Okay, in Shawnee, Oklahoma. So, I'm the uneducated one, which makes it even cooler. I'll be the rebel, or the one that doesn't know anything. So, but what we're going to do now is go around. What was that?
That is not true, Justin.
I'll be the one that everybody can pick on. That's what it is. You guys can, like, lay out the intelligent stuff. So let's go around the room, the virtual room here, and we'll talk each kind of about why we're doing this, and give a little bit of insight. And that's the whole idea with this episode. So sit back and enjoy your coffee with us. Tom, why don't you share with us what's your reasoning for doing a podcast and spending time in the early mornings with us?
Well, I grew up in a fundamentalist evangelical denomination, and they did such a good job of convincing the people who were part of that church that they were the only true church, or they had the only right interpretation, that when people left that church, it was easier to become a non-believer or an atheist than it was to go to another church. Most of the people I knew who left still think that's the only right interpretation of Christianity, or the best interpretation of Christianity.
Did you say the people that even have left still think that?
Yes.
Okay.
But they just think Christianity is wrong.
It's in a bottle, and that's it.
Right. Right.
Or a box, if you will. A box, yeah.
They've done such a good job, even when they've rejected faith or walked away from the church, it's still too hard for them to choose another church because it feels like betrayal, you know? It's easier to be the backslidden one or the non-believer than to Or they just take that fundamentalist zeal and apply it to something like atheism. So they just kind of become the other side of the same coin, you know?
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah.
So as I have, and I think that people who look at, I'm an Episcopalian, I don't think we, have we said that yet? We're all Episcopalians. I think that some...
Good point.
I think the stereotype of us is, at least from that, if I'm talking to somebody from those quarters, well, you're someone who has just decided you don't believe, or you're not taking the Bible as seriously, or you're not... you're just kind of doing what you want to do. You like all that ritual, or you like that those churches with the pretty stained glass windows, and you really enjoy people calling you father, you know, or having titles. And so you're just doing this because you don't care as much about scripture or truth, and you want to go off and do what you want to do. Even the ones who are atheists have said similar things to me. You know, how could you do that? You know, you don't even believe in God. Why do you care? You know? So for me, the truth is the opposite. I think that, you know, one of the first heresies of the church was Gnosticism, where they said knowledge, we're saved by knowledge, and we're saved by our secret special knowledge that only this insider group has. And also the early church was tribal and communal, and we're radical individuals. And so I was raised to read scripture through the lens of this radical individual. I really thought that Paul wrote Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? I really thought Paul was thinking about the Southern Baptists when he wrote that, you know, so he could give me some good fodder to win an argument against them. But when you start learning the context of the early church, and you start studying, for me, I started studying, as I studied the scripture on my own, the older I got, after having worked as a minister in that church for 10 years, I started coming to the conclusion, no, they didn't really know the scriptures as well as they thought they did. It was just this particular hermeneutic, this lens they were putting on as they read the scripture that led them to their conclusions, not really the scripture. And so this podcast, I hope, is a good tool for people who are struggling with trying to make sense of how the lack of countercultural elements in their faith, or the lack of they don't have the ability to reconcile some scripture with their faith, or they just don't get it. You know, I hope that this podcast is one tool among many that helps people who are finding their way out of that, or who are just exploring Christianity for the first time, and they live in America, so, or the Western world, and so naturally they kind of approach things the same way. How can Christianity look different than you thought that it did? And it's not just because we don't care. It's not just because we're writing off scripture. We're actually trying to apply scripture to our life and worship in a way that's, I believe, truly similar to the early church, so, or the ancient church. That's about it.
Wow, can I clap?
No.
Dude, I'm such a huge fan of yours. That was outstanding. Hand breathing.
I don't want to have to follow that.
Yeah, good luck, E. I like to talk on the microphone. God.
Well, you shouldn't have let me go first.
That was awesome. Wow, I think you called that. What'd you say? You have no notes. You're just going to use your overflow from the heart.
Well, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's awesome. Wow. You know,
First Timothy 1:17 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline." I'm just trying to make all the Episcopalians now, they're twitching. Guys, no, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Tom's going to quote and throw out scripture and go at it. And I'm going to be like, sure. Wait, do you remember that one story? That's awesome. Oh, man, that's good stuff. E, I'm buying you time. You about ready? that was awesome. You know, it's funny because you thought you made me think of things as I'm sitting here, like, jotting down some notes to Tom. And I mean, what you said just... great job. Yeah, what he said and thanks. More. So,
thanks, go ahead. Danny.
Go ahead, E.
Well, I don't know that I have as cool a story as Tom's. Grew up in it was a Presbyterian church, but I didn't know anything distinct about the Presbyterian church that, you know, I think probably my religious influence was just sort of Oklahoma Christianity, which was, you know, fundamentalist, very, very Bible centric. And I just assumed that's how faith worked. And in my teenage years, I realized that faith wasn't necessarily working for me. I was attending a Catholic high school. And just was really fascinated with this idea of you know, the church tradition, the mass that we would you know, observe as a non-Catholic. I couldn't receive communion, but we certainly had to go to mass at the school, and I was just fascinated by what was going on. And my girlfriend in high school was an Episcopalian, and it's the last time an Episcopalian did evangelism and invited me to church with her. And I had that same sort of experience of just, you know, being sort of taken by the ritual and the traditions. And you know, I didn't have a huge time in the Episcopal Church as a teenager before going off to college. And probably like a lot of people, when I went off to college, you know, religion was probably the furthest thing from, you know, my daily concern. And when I got out of college, I sort of went on this church shopping tour and ended back up in the Episcopal Church and decided that's where I wanted to be. But I think my real conversion from being sort of an Oklahoma Christian to what I would just describe as a much deeper sort of knowledge of God, a deep love for Jesus, was in seminary. I tell people a lot of times that my first conversion was to the church, and the second conversion was to Jesus.
That's great language.
And so I love the church a whole lot earlier than I love Jesus, but seminary changed that, and I became, you know, deeply devout follower of Christ, and it transformed my faith life in a way that you know, the old ways in which I thought faith worked and the way that we were supposed to read scripture that I knew wasn't life-giving to me, all of a sudden I had sort of the language and the background to understand why it wasn't working for me. Awesome. So my purpose for doing this podcast is that Justin Dixon said, "Hey, why don't we have a podcast?" All the cool kids are having one, and I've never been the cool kid.
Me neither, Everett.
So, you know, and Justin has, because, you know, he was in a rock band. So, you know, when I want to know what's cool, I just ask Justin.
And it was like a glam rock band where they like painted their nails and stuff.
That's
So seriously, I mean, being able to, you know, sit around and talk about God and theology and religion with Justin and Tom is like one of the best things that to do. So this is fun for me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's good stuff. Yes.
And you 10 people that are listening.
Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Oh man, that's good. That was really good. Now you guys have written mine. Thank you very much, because I had a bunch of stuff to say and I didn't know what to say. So well done, gentlemen. Well done. I love that language that you use, that you first fell in love with the church and then you fell in love with Jesus. And I think the honesty in that, because I feel like some would get embarrassed to say that, because it was like, wait a second, you like the church, not Jesus. You know, and that's that get in trouble mentality that I still have sometimes. So I love that language and that honesty. Nice one, E. So I wrote a whole big page because I'm over preparing for this, because this makes me really nervous. And I don't know why. I don't know why, and I'm still putting language to this as to why I'm doing this. And outside of the fact that it's fun, I love to sit around with you guys and chat and learn from you all. The wisdom that pours over from speaking with you all, and how you educate me in so many ways in life, in scripture, in Christ is just amazing. And so I can't get enough of that. And so I always go and seek more. And I'll refer poorly to a Bible story of finding the treasure in the field. And that's what I've done. I've found that treasure. And I think the story goes that he went out and sold everything to buy the field, right? Something to that effect. And that's where I feel like I am. There's this, and not to get cliche, but there's a fire inside, AFI reference, that just does not go out, and it just continues. And so I began in the Baptist tradition, denomination, I mean, and from there, there was great, great, great love in that church and that I came from. And I still know these people, all of them. And so one thing that just really sticks out in my mind is when I was some, let's say 12, I have no idea, they showed us this movie, and it's The Poor Man's Left Behind, but it was called A Thief in the Night. And
yes.
And in church, and it's all about this apocalyptic end time stuff and Mark of the Beast stuff and things like that. And that has given me insane amounts of fear and nightmares and all kinds of things throughout my life. And hopefully sometime you'll hear more about that, and I'm sure that many of you listening, I guess, will probably have that same kind of story. And, you know, they didn't do it in thinking that, you know, this is wrong. It was done out of, we love you. We want you to be safe eternally. So we're going to go this route. And now I see it differently. So I left that. I went to college, I guess, and I started playing music. And so, yes, I did play in a rock band and went to Boston and toured around New England, if you will, or playing shows. I don't know. We like to use toured because it sounds more awesome. And I'm totally redneck in saying that word. And it's funny because after I go back and look at the lyrics that I wrote, as the singer of the band, I wrote most of the lyrics, I think. And it's just, and God is just spilled throughout those lyrics of me questioning and asking. And I like what Tom said about just because you leave the church, so to speak, even though I snuck out the back door, so I'm a backslider, I guess, in that world, doesn't mean that you all of a sudden walk out and have this new light of what the church is. There still was this entirely fundamental view, black and white, of transactional Christianity. You know, turn or burn mentality. And so even in the music that I wrote, it was still the same thing. It's not like I just became this new person and this new outlook on life and in Christianity. So after that, I had a friend who was attending an Episcopal church, and he played music with me, and he had begun attending it, and he emailed me and told me that he was praying for me. And originally I thought, how lame. And then
what a loser.
Yeah, right. And then I came back and to Oklahoma, and I started attending there. And I'm trying to decide where to go with this story. And all the walls were broken down. I walked into a church, and this is kind of the one side of the story, I guess, or one odd. But I walked into church at an event, and someone handed me a beer. So this beer bottle, as many friends of mine have said, had broke down many, many walls for me. And thinking that, wait a second, you know, you drink that, you're going to hell. And not to focus on the beer, but that kind of started a snowball of change for me. And since then, in the 15 years that I've been going to an Episcopal church, just it continues to peel layer after layer and break down wall after wall. And I've felt throughout this time almost, and I don't say this to downplay others who have like a diagnosed version of PTSD, I think is the term PTSD, right? Post-traumatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have felt that with my past beliefs and these things of like just being so, I don't know, brainwashed that you get into this area to where I can't even, I'm in the wrong still. And even though I don't believe that, it's just this kind of like tremors after an earthquake that just continue to happen. And so so that fire inside of me wants to seek and wants to know. And I want to share with others what I have found, which is love. It's not the angry God sending lightning bolts down from heaven. It is a love that is so powerful that it can change the world for the better, literally, and people. And I have sat and watched it change me for 15 years through people's time and loving me and educating me and not condemning me, but just walking alongside me while I figure things out and while I learn to love. Because we all think that we can love, but we still have no understanding of what the love that Christ is like. We try. And I try every day to do so, but I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. And so this makes me really, really nervous because I'm really nervous to offend people. I'm really nervous to have some people, I don't know why, see me in certain lights. So the actual, as we grow closer to doing this, it continues to make me nervous and I don't know why. So, but I'm trying to be as honest as possible. But I hope that we can, you know, approach the conversations that we have with love and grace so that we offer, you know, things that we've learned with others so that they may find something in this. And so while people are watching this, I hope they get a cup of coffee, enjoy the conversations, laugh, whatever it is, and learn from it. And then, you know, even further into that, start interacting with it. And because we'll be on Twitter and Facebook and other areas, and hopefully that you come out and kind of throw some things out to us, question-wise, topics you want to discuss, because I really think that there is something here outside of the anti, you know, insert word here, Christianity, that I think gets portrayed all across social media and other platforms in the world. And I'm not trying to make it's funny, we just did a episode on the power of control or something, illusion of control for Christianity. And that's not the point. That's not that we want to be in control of things, but we want to change the world from the bottom up, I think, is one thing that I'd like to see happen. So I feel like I'm rambling now. Someone save me.
It's about time we started to release this. We've recorded like 500 episodes.
Yes, we have. We're being very...
Now I understand why you're having this wait, Justin.
Prepping. Now you understand? Oh.
Kind of scared.
Yes, I'm going to put this away and just hide it all now. Okay, other thoughts that have came on your minds to share on this episode? Because we're actually going to run over our normal time. Not really, but... So, other thoughts you guys want to share?
I'm excited to get going.
Cool. Awesome.
I just want to say that I'm not sure what I ever say on this podcast, so I don't know whether I actually believe what I say or not.
Nice.
So don't hold it, you know, don't hold it against me if I say the wrong thing.
I apologize in advance for some things that I know I've said on here.
That's the great thing about recording episodes up front, is because there is some things that we say and we go walk away from and go, oh God. But so that's one thing too, is we don't edit. We don't edit anything out. We push the record button and in 30 minutes, we're done. And so there are going to be things that will come out, I'm sure, that probably offend someone. So just ask us. I promise that there is nothing but love here. And so if there is something that's offensive, which we're trying to call each other out on that too, this is all in fun and in love. And so nothing is in a condemning manner, but we will take on some ideas that are going to be, I'll say controversial. And we're just going to try our best to approach them with love and grace and share them in that light. So hopefully, you know, we can do that in a good way where it educates others. But as we say somewhere, I forget where now, this whole idea was to begin a conversation. Instead of doing a 2-hour podcast where we just hem and haw and talk all over these subjects, we wanted to throw out some ideas so you, the listener, can take them and talk with them about others. Maybe we'll shed some new light on something, a different thought that you agree or don't agree with, and that's fine, that you want to take and share with others. So that's kind of the idea. We're going to begin the conversation on it and give you some input. We're also going to share some authors that we love to read and different people and other things that we do kind of in the last 5 minutes of each episode. What else, guys?
That's it.
Thanks for doing all the hard work, Justin.
No. It's all good, man. It's all good. All right. Well, this is episode 0. We hope that you will join us on this adventure. We're going to have lots of fun and enjoy doing it. So communicate with us. We are on Twitter at @FunDrainPod. And then we're also on Facebook at Fundamentally Drained Podcast. And look us up and interact with us. Let us know what you think. And may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Thanks for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at @FunDrainPod. We'd love to hear your comments on our episodes and also suggest future episode topics. Also, if you enjoy what we're doing, go on iTunes and give us a review, please. Thanks a lot.